dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we celebrate the memory of St. Edith Stein, also known as Sister Teresa Benedictine Benedicta of the Cross. She was a Carmelite nun at the time of her death, but she had acquired a certain amount of fame before she entered into religious life as a scholar, as a lecturer, as a student of philosophy and a doctor of philosophy. Her life story is very relevant to the history of the 20th century. She died as a martyr for the faith, as well as for her loyalty to her ethnic roots as a Jew. She was born into a Jewish family and experienced conversion, entered into religious life at the time when the persecution of the Jews was going on in Nazi Germany. She possibly could have hidden her Jewish ethnicity and saved her life, but she chose rather to give witness and unite herself to the suffering of her people, as well as offer herself as a sacrifice to bring about, to break the power of the Antichrist, as she put it. She wanted to offer herself up. As I mentioned, she was born into a Jewish family. Her father died when she was young. She was the youngest child of seven and the beloved of her mother, who was a very pious woman and who observed all of the religious practices of the Jewish people. And yet at a young age, Edith became an atheist. She looked around her and saw that most of the people who called themselves Jews or Christians really didn't seem to believe anything about God, and she didn't think it made any sense to play along. If there's nothing there to be believed, why should she act like she did? And so I think it was probably at the age of 13, if I remember correctly, she gave up any belief in God. And she went on to, she was brilliant. She was known to be very, very intelligent, even from a very young age. She was sent off to kindergarten at the age of four, and the teachers couldn't handle her. She wasn't given to just simply playing with blocks or whatever kids do at kindergarten at that age. She wore out the teacher, who sent her back and said, well, she should just wait until she's 6 years old and can enter into school. And all through her academic career, she excelled. She earned her doctorate in philosophy at the age of 25. Her conversion came about in a couple of stages. She had become close friends with the assistant of her, the professor with whom she worked, Edmund Husserl, and his assistant was Adolf Reinach. And she became friends with Adolf and his wife, a young couple. And Adolf was killed at the end of the war in 1917, First World War. And Edith went to pay a visit to his wife. This couple was Catholic, or at least Christian. And she was surprised to find Anna, the wife of Adolf, composed and serene, and realized that it was because of this woman's Christian faith that she was able to accept that loss with serenity as part of the suffering of life, but in the hope of eternal life. And so that impressed her, and she later wrote that that was the first time that she had come face to face with the cross and the divine strength that it gives to those who are willing to carry the cross. And then another important moment in her conversion, she had been a guest at the home of some friends and had come across the autobiography of Saint Teresa of Avila. She started reading it and was fascinated. She read the whole book in one night. And therein, she felt that she had discovered the truth. And really, the love of truth, I think, is one of the defining aspects of her life. Obviously, true philosophy is the love of wisdom and the search for truth. And so though she began that search in earnest by rejecting God, that same love for truth then led her back to him, and she discovered the truth in the Catholic faith. She was then, shortly after that, she asked to be admitted into the church to be baptized. She had already, after reading the life of Saint Teresa, she went out and got a catechism, studied it, devoured it, learned it, and then asked to be admitted into church. And so after her baptism, she almost immediately desired to enter into religious life, to become a Carmelite sister. At this time, however, her academic career was flourishing, and she was much in demand as a lecturer, and the people to whom she went for her spiritual direction suggested to her that she could do more good in the world at this point, you know, freshly converted to Catholicism, in the public eye. And so she agreed, though her heart desired to enter Carmel. She continued to teach and to lecture, and she translated some works, Catholic works, into German. It was about that time, shortly after she, you know, had been converted and was giving all of these talks, that Hitler came to power, and with that, her academic career was pretty much shut down. Being a Jew, she was fired from her position, and at that point then, she was permitted to enter Carmel. In Carmel, she applied herself with all humility to the life of a nun without shirking away from the menial labor that she was asked to do. She wasn't very adept at it, but she gave it her all, and her sisters recognized this. When the persecution became too dangerous for the sisters to keep her at the convent there in Germany, she was then sent to Holland and was transferred to the house in Holland. And there, shortly after that, the archbishop there in Holland also spoke out against the abuses that the Nazi regime was committing, particularly in the persecution of the Jews. And so the Germans, the Nazis, retaliated and gathered up all of those religious of Jewish descent, and with them, Saint Teresa Benedicta Edith Stein was arrested. I believe her younger sister had been influenced by Teresa Benedicta's conversion. Her sister Rosa, too, entered into the Catholic faith and had gone to Holland to live near her sister. Both of them were picked up in this roundup of the Jewish among the religious, and they were shipped off to Auschwitz. Not immediately, but that's where they ended up. And Saint Teresa Benedicta then suffered the consequences of her faith, her witness, and her empathic union with the Jewish people who were suffering in this way under the persecution of the Jews. And so she was executed in Auschwitz in 1942. She was marked with a great empathy. That was what she wrote her doctorate on, the subject of empathy, and it's seen in the example of her life. Her love for truth led her to Christ, and as we heard in the gospel today, she was willing to become like a child. She who, you know, at a time when women were not given so many opportunities, she was excelling and recognized all over Europe for her academic accomplishments, for her intellectual gifts, and yet she was willing to give it all up and to become a simple nun. And her trust in God was like that of a child. She said that God was not limited to His ability to protect her was not limited to whether or not she could remain behind the walls of Carmel, that he had other means to protect her. And she saw in this, you know, God's power, just like within the sacraments, we run to the sacraments for the great grace that we know is there, but she also acknowledged that God is not limited by the sacraments, that his power is unlimited. So she had this childlike, complete trust in God. And as our Lord said, those who wish to enter into heaven must have that that ability to become like children. And she showed this. And so as a hope to all of us, she didn't give in to pride. She remained humble, obedient to the truth. And for this, she gave up her life. And so let us ask her, let us ask God to allow her to intercede for us, that we too may be, above all, obedient for love of the truth, to give witness no matter what the world says, and to have this childlike trust in his power to protect us and preserve us and bring us to eternal life. Praise be Jesus and Mary.